Right, Ernie, what's your full name?
Ernest Dodd. And it's Dodd, not Dodds.
Okay, sorry, I hope I haven't...
No, you haven't.
Okay. And what's your current occupation, or if you've retired, what did you used to do?
I finished in sales for a international food company, selling to the retail trade.
Okay. And did you do that all the way through?
No, I worked at the in the mines. I worked in the mines and on the surface in the, right. at the mines. From being 14, I started work. And I finished at the pits in 1961 because I promised a better job and it didn't materialise. So I thought I used to have representatives from trying to sell us stuff at the pits, gloves, things like that. And I thought, well, I'm sure that's a job I could do. And I felt like going into the industrial side.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I finished up, I couldn't get a job because I hadn't had the experience. I had no experience at all, you see. And I finished up going selling business systems for a start. Then I sold polythene. And I had I'd had one job for 20 years, and I finished up having three jobs in a year.
Mm.
And then I got with, they called them North Swiss. Was a Swiss okay. company that sold packet soups, and then we got together with Brown and Paulson, which was a big British company.
Yes,
and we took up other people and that sort of thing. And I finished up doing the national accounts, you know, major accounts.
Oh, very good. And can I ask you your date of birth? And
10/4/24.
Right, and where were you born, and where did you live as a child?
I was born in Grimthorpe near Barnsley, which is a mining village, and I lived there. All my single life, and then I got married while we lived there. I could have still worked at the pit then. And when I left the pit and went with this food company, I was doing the local area of Barnsley, Rotherham and Doncaster, because they like you to live on the patch if it's going to save the travelling. And I started doing okay in the job, so they moved me to a better area, which was Sheffield. So then I moved to Sheffield, that was about 1963.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we lived in Sheffield until 1985, then we came here to be more central. Sheffield, we were on the south side of Sheffield, very nice area, but you'd got to cross the city to get to the motorways all the time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And doing the travelling. So I come and lived here thinking there's good access to the motorways. And a lot of my work was down towards Birmingham, Nottingham, Leicester, Northampton, that type of an area. And I'd only been left Sheffield about maybe 6 months, and the company asked me if I wanted to take early retirement.
Oh, no.
Which I'd never even thought about. That when I was 61 then, because I was quite happy working and I could do the job, you know. And I sussed it out and thought, well, yeah, it's probably a good idea, so I did do. And I've been retired as long from the company as I work for them.
Gosh,
that's incredible, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yes.
I've been retired 25 years and I work for them 25 years.
Have you found things to do in those
I've never missed the people,
yeah,
you know, because it was very much a people job. The buyers, you got to know them, you know, they were friends, and then the colleagues you work with and all that sort of thing. But other than that, no, I never missed it.
Great, we're just going all the, what did your parents, you're back to what your parents did.
Right, my father worked in the pits. Everybody worked in the pits, all of, you know, his brothers and other sons and that sort of thing. And my mother never had a job, she didn't work. In fact, my mother never went in a shop in the village. I did all the shopping as a kid. She'd send me, and she never went shopping, my mother, I did it all. Fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Another thing is she smoked when women didn't smoke. But she never smoked outside.
Right.
And she thought my father didn't know she smoked. Because there wouldn't be a row or anything. It was just one of those things that it wasn't done, you see.
And did he know?
I'm sure he did. I mean, I never got to know, but I'm sure he did. Because he used to smoke when he was younger, he once told me. But he started playing the cornet. And he stopped smoking then, because he was a founder member of the Grimthorpe Colliery Band.
Oh, right.
Player, which was, world famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was a founder member, and he was a solo cornet player for about 20 years.
Great. Well, going back again, what was your first school, and what sort of school was it?
Well, Initiative, mate. Yeah. As far as I can remember, it was the infant school at Grimethorpe.
Okay.
And that would be about 1929, when I was 5 old, because I was born in 24. And I think I'd be there about 1932. Now, all three schools were together. There was infants there, the boys and the girls.
Oh, right.
And you could look from the boys into the girls and vice versa. And you hadn't far to walk to either school. And then when you finished in the infants, you moved either to the boys or to the girls, whichever. And for about the first... There were like four classes in what we call the bottom half of the school,
mm-hmm.
and that's when you had one teacher teaching you everything. Then when you moved into the top end of the school, which were the other four classes, that's when you moved classrooms
for
different teachers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would have thought that, as far as I can make out, I went in the elementary around about 1932 or 93, which was the big school, we called it.
Right, and just going to keep you on the infants, can you remember any sort of history of being taught then?
No, I really can't.
No, not even stories of great people or anything?
Well, it could be that we started in there with, like, you know, Alfred the Great and William the Conqueror, that type of thing, that I honestly cannot remember now.
Okay, so just moved, so you obviously you moved up to the elementary bit. Can you remember?
Well, there again, in the bottom half of the school, because we were taught all the subjects with the same teacher, I can't remember anything. I think that it came up, you know, through that. You started with the 1066 or Alfred, and then. But when we got into the top end of the school and we started having a history master, then,
right,
I, remember.
Then
I was always reasonably good at geography, history, arithmetic, that's what we call it, maths. One thing with, I think I've told you this, we were never taught to write, linked writing.
Yes.
We were never taught to write until we got in the top end of the school. And to this day, I still print because I find it easy. I mean, I still aren't right, but it's more legible and that sort of thing. But we never did.
Strange.
Yet the girls, as soon as they got in the school from the infants, they were writing. So the girls could write before the boys, if you know what I mean.
That's strange.
It isn't it?
Do you think that was just the teacher or something?
No, I think it must have been procedure. It must have been the headmaster. Because, I mean, they were that close. I mean, they must have had meetings and chatted to each other.
Strange.
Mr. Breton was the headmaster. Real Dickens type fella, very stiff collar, tall, he'd be about 6 foot, I would think, you know. And he had quite a thick cane. And if you were late for school, you went to see the headmaster and got a cane. If you misbehaved in school and the teacher couldn't handle it, you went to the headmaster and got the cane. And he was a bit aloof.
Yes.
You know, you never got to see him much except in the hall at the. When you get together, forget what they call it.
So he didn't teach you at all?
Oh, no, he didn't teach anything.
Oh, right.
No, he was just a headmaster, he was then in charge.
So tell me about your history master that you had.
Yeah, well, they call him Charles Andrews, but everybody called him Chuck, you know, not to his face, of course.
No.
But that's one thing, I don't know whether I mentioned this, and I've been note of this. When I was young, everybody had a nickname. You hardly ever called anybody the name.
Mm.
Richard's got Dick, William's got Bill, lots of things were shortened, and nobody more or less were called their own name.
Mm.
And sometimes if the father had got a nickname that he'd had, the son got it.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, I'm talking about the mining, whether it was the same all over, this very close to the mining community, you know, very close community. And I mean, one were called, his father, we called him Pud, P-U-D,
mm-hmm.
Pud Middlesbrough. Now, everybody called his dad Pud Middlesbrough, and the lad got called Pud Middlesbrough.
Right.
You know, I mean, it seems strange maybe to other people, but just for natural to us, you see.
Yes.
Now,
so you had Chuck.
And Andrews gave everybody in the class a nickname.
Oh.
And I can't remember them all, but I remember some particularly. And he called him that name. He didn't call him with the name. Now, I don't know why, but I think a guy called Dodd played centre forward for Barnsley.
Oh.
And he called me centre forward.
Yeah?
And the guy called Middlesbrough, who we call Pud, because Middlesbrough, Teesside, he called him Teesider. And Nev Hayes, which were a pal of mine, we were pretty close together and we were always in the top three or four in the class. Hayes was a censor for the films. I don't know if you remember. Well, you'll not remember, but it was a well-known name on all the films that come censored by somebody A's. So he called him censor.
Oh.
And that was what I can remember.
How amazing.
Now, the other thing, the geography master, they call him Mr. Griffiths. And he were a bit like a monk face. I'm trying to think of a footballer, had a long chin. And Forsythe's are similar, Bruce Forsythe.
Oh, yeah.
And we all called him, not to his face, Monk. Monkey, you see.
Oh, right.
So he got Monk. Now, the science master were very... looked a bit oriental. He wasn't, but he looked, because he wore thick glasses when nobody wore thick glasses. And, of course, we called him Tojo, because that was the Japanese emperor at that time. So everybody called him Tojo. not to his face, but amongst yourself, you'd say, oh, we've got Tojo this afternoon, something like that.
Never very said, imaginative.
Yeah. And then Andrew's got Chuck, of course.
And
let me just tell you this, because okay. I don't forget it.
No.
One of the things that Andrew's said, and it sticks with me to this day, and I still say it to people, and if somebody made a mess of things, or they just didn't do things right, and it's quite serious, and they send missionaries abroad. And I always thought that was funny. They send missionaries abroad, you see, because, you know, why send them abroad when we need them here with these people? That's what he said.
Right, okay.
And then the other one he said, he'd be talking about, because we used to get him sidetracked if we could, you see, on various things. And I don't know how it come about, maybe about a film or something, but love. He said, you know, have you thought about love? Because when you spell it backwards, it spells evil. And I mean, told this to young kids. You know, so, you're a lad, I'll tell you. But I always remember them. Yeah. Right, carry on now.
I was going to say, well, what sort of history can you remember?
Well, as I say, I cannot remember anything particularly, but I remember that we went through all the kings, naturally, you know, all the way up, and we did all the William the Conqueror, all that Alfred the Great. We also did some of the French thing, I think, but what sticks in my mind more than anything is the way he did. We used to do these tests, and it'd be like, I think it were 25 questions, it were always, or 20, I can't remember, it must have been 20, and he tended to give you very similar, I mean, out of 20, there might be 10 that were in virtually every time.
Mm.
I got away with it, I'll never know, but he did, and he always had good percentages, you see, because if you got 20 last time and you only got 18 this time, you got two strokes of the cane.
Mm.
So what we did, we said, right, we'll get round about 18, we can manage 18 every time virtually, you know, not because you knew them all, because you did put some different ones in that you were teaching that time, so you'd stick round that mark, you see, so nobody ever got 100% because they weren't going to get
so
the cane.
So
you
can only go down.
<That's>
right.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, so I mean, we had textbooks, he'd read from textbooks, and we had blackboards, but with no other aids, I wouldn't have thought. I can't even remember any posters being up.
No.
There might have been a map, you know.
Yes.
But he would get on about the current climate. As I said to you, he talked about the war coming a few years before it came. Again, I didn't hear like my folks talking about it, you know what I mean? So whether
right.
he got like an insight to things with being an history master, I feel sure he was a left winger or very much a socialist with doing that, and he talked that way, you know, and he talked about the things that were happening in the government at that time, when we got him sidetracked sometimes, and but he did teach you, you know, you knew what he'd telling you, and it stuck with you. Not because he was very strict disciplinarian, but he was fair, and you respected him, and you learned from him.
And did he ever bring newspapers or anything in?
I think he did, yes, because
to talk about current
affairs.
Yes,
yes. He didn't do that as a lesson, if you understand
no.
me. He brought that in during the lesson. I mean, he'd bring it up maybe when you, like you said, when you talked about something and something took his eye in the paper or something, and he'd just start on it. But he used to bike about 7 miles every day from near Barnsley he lived, and on what we call a sit-up-and-beg bike. Hail, blow, snow, no matter what the weather was, winter, always came and never missed. And when I left school, well, a while, I'd be about maybe 20, I weren't married, I don't know, I might have been married, yeah. Probably 20 odd, just turned 20. And Nev A, this pal of mine, who still lived in the village where I did, his mother was a big thing in the Primitive Methodist chapel, and of course Nev used to go as well. And they got Chuck Andrew, to come because he was a lay preacher.
Oh, right.
And he came and did, when we'd all retired, we'd all, you know, passed through. And there were about probably 12 of us there from the school. And it was really, really nice. And he really, you know, thought it was great that we'd come to the chapel too. Yeah. And I mean, I lost it with him after that, of course. But I remember Nev telling me that we got Chuck Andrews coming to do some. Oh, we'll come, won't you? So we all went to chapel, whether we went to or not.
And so when he taught you, did he teach like a preacher? Did he just mainly talk?
Oh, no, he just talked. He was a good speaker.
But he just talked.
Yeah.
He didn't, yeah.
He didn't lay it on the line. No. He wasn't like Brimstone.
No, but he did just talk to you. That was his main chief
yes,
way of teaching.
Yes, oh, yes.
And did you make notes or did you write things down?
We had the exercise books, so we must have done. I'll be honest, I can't remember.
Right.
I mean, he'd read you something and then you'd do a little composition on it, you know.
Right.
But you didn't sort of keep that book, then this was to make it stick in your mind for when you did the tests.
And you didn't ever have things like radio or anything?
Oh, No. Well, going back, you might have only just got one at home, you see, then.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was at school, we had one. And you had an accumulator, they called them, which drove it like a battery,
which
you had to go and get charged up at the local radio shop.
Oh.
So you'd have two, you'd be using one,
right.
When that conked out, you'd take it to the radio shop, he'd charge you when he gave you the other one,
right.
Because it charged that up, then he'd start charging the up ready for when you came again. So radio were very new and, you know,
yeah,
it would nothing like that we use in the school now. No.
Did you ever go on any trips at all?
No,
nothing at all.
Never went. The only thing we did outdoor like that was we once went. Monk was the sportsmaster, and we went play a little football match in a field. I remember that. But in the schoolyard itself, there's a section with like little allotments in, little maybe half as big as this room, but might be 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you paid to do the gardening, and then you had the products.
Oh,
sorry.
Right.
And we did that, and that was done with the music master. He did two special subjects.
Right, right.
And Mr. Verney, I was remember what I called him.
Right. And did you like the history?
Oh, I did. Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not being facetious or anything, but I like enjoyed school, if you know what I mean. Lots of kids didn't. It didn't bother me going to school at all. And I was always pretty good in the top three or four, you know, and I never got any help from home. Because my mother weren't a good reader. And I mean, nobody like told me what to do or tried to help me or anything. Even when I sat for grammar school. And I mean, in them days, if out of a class that did the test for the grammar school, if one got through or two, that was as many as went through.
Right.
You know.
So you didn't pass?
No. And I think I was good enough to, personally, as Nev was. And the three or four of us all like top of the class. He did tell me the teacher to, it won't be Chuck Andrews, it must be Mr. Verney, because you finished in Mr. Verney's class. Because we didn't have anybody come to the school and talk to us about work, because the only work there was. And there were no work going anyway, you see, because it was just after the Depression. And it worked out that way that I never got really any help from that. Oh, what he suggested, why don't you go to technical school? But you see, in them days, all you thought about was getting a job to help at home, you know, with the things. And you thought, well, that means I shan't be working for another 2 years, and I'm going to be travelling to Barnsley and paying the fare and all this sort of thing. And nobody ever said to me, no, you want to go, or you're going to go, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I didn't go. No.
Right, so the teachers didn't.
Oh, no. I think they just thought, well, we have another class coming in next month, that'll be it. Start again.
So, at your school, could you have stayed after 14?
No.
It stops
everybody,
at 14.
You left school at 14, like now it's 16, then 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my father left when he was 12. He was working in the pit at 12.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, when they used to tell me that, I thought it was terrible, because 12 seemed young, 14 didn't seem young, you see.
Whereas now...
Yeah, I mean, if I told my grandson... yeah.
And so, yeah, so obviously you didn't do a school certificate or anything.
No, you just got... my mother must have thrown them away. You just got reports, you know, good at this, G for that, E for excellent, that type of thing.
Mm.
But you didn't get a certificate.
No.
I mean,
did you do exams in the school?
Oh yeah.
You did do those.
Oh yeah, in each you did the ISTE one with Chuck.
Yeah.
And you did the English one with Mr. Verney, and you did the geography one with Mr. Griffiths, and that sort of thing.
Right.
And then they were all done up on your school report. You
right,
see.
Right. And so you'd have homework as well, or not?
No, never. You got a bit of homework when you were sitting for the grammar school.
Okay, but that was when you were 11, presumably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But after
well, nearly
that.
14. No, never did it.
Oh,
see,
you did that at 14, did you, the grammar
it
school?
Was nearly, I'm sure it was near enough, you know, maybe 13, maybe
right.
12, 13.
Right.
I don't think it was as early as 11, to be honest.
Oh, okay,
no,
right.
No. Now, just coming back to that GC, when I got nothing, you see. I mean, I got my reports, but that didn't mean anything too, like when you went to the pits or anything like that. And when I left, when I was leaving the pit, and I said, I have no experience of this. And I went to these interviews, and they'd say, have you got a certificate of education? No. Because I were older than the people who were seeing normally. See, I were 36. They were seeing people at 22, you know, 20,
yes,
whatever.
So you'd all have certificates.
Well, they would then, you see. And I always remember this. You're all right for a few minutes, I'm talking about this, are you?
No, it's great.
I went for interviews, you know, and I always could talk, because when I worked in the stores, it was like a shop. There were a Coleridge stores. I mean, they didn't pay for, well, they paid for the helmets, part for the helmets, for the gloves and for the boots. But I saw 2,000 people work in that pit, and I saw virtually everybody at some time, because everybody had to come to the stores for something at some time.
Mm.
Gloves, whatever. So you got as you could converse with people, you see. Also, when I was a kid, I sold papers, which I thought were a very good grounding.
Yeah.
You know, because again, meeting people and handling money and all this sort of thing. And because Nevis said to me, when I was leaving the pit, he worked in the office. In fact, he was in charge of the stores, because Nev did go to technical college.
Oh right. Yeah.
And he was like my boss above boss. And he says to me when I'm leaving, because he'd got me this job, you see. I mean, not because he got it, because I was good enough. And the manager at the pit wanted me there because I was doing a good job for him, you see.
Yeah.
And I says to him, well, if I don't get that other job, I'm going to leave. And nobody thought I would, because I was like a cornerstone, you know. And when I've come to go, Nev says to me, what makes you think you'd do that job, Ernie? I said, do you know, Nev, I never thought about that. I just thought I could do it. Anyway, so I went for these interviews, I went to a lot of interviews, and a lot of them just didn't want to know it. From the pit, they think you're thick, you see, you know, from mining area, thick, and you hadn't had the experience, and so, well, are you going to get a job if I can't get experience, type of thing? And I took this job selling just business systems for a start, which were like bit of salary and part commission. Then I was looking for something better, and I got this job with selling plastic bags and all that sort of stuff. Then I got an interview with North Swiss, and I always remember the guy who interviewed me, they didn't give me the job there and then, because I lived in Grimethorpe near Barnsley. The job was in Bradford,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted you to live on the patch, and of course they didn't want to move me because that would cost them money. I were unknown quantity. They said, well, look, we're interested, but you're no good for this job because you live off the patch. If anything comes up in the area, we'll contact you. I thought, last I've heard of that. And I thought it was a good job, it sounded a nice job, you know. Anyway, 3 months after, the phone rings, and I were working with this polythene company then, quite happy, doing a good job, and he said, a job's come up in Sheffield, would you be interested in taking it? Sheffield Rotherham, that's right. So we'd like you to come for an interview, another interview. So I went, and it wasn't the same guy who dealt with me before, another one, and I got the job. So I goes under then, working under this other fellow, more or less turned me down before. And after I'd worked for him maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, he was with me in the car one day, and he said, do you know, Ernie, I didn't want you for my team. Quite honest, you know, which I understood, you know, because they look at, if you're not educated, you know, they think that's it. He says, but I'll tell you this, I wish I'd got a team full of, you know, a team of you.
Oh.
Which were nice, you know.
Yeah, lovely.
But it worked that I just, I was able to do it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I was selling stuff that other people, they couldn't do it, you know, and they were great. But I also remember him saying that to me. And when he left, this I didn't like, when he left, because I'd always thought he was a hard worker, you see, because he was my immediate boss, and he'd been in sales a long time. He seemed to know, you know, what he was doing. Anyway, I'm leaving her, and he said, I'm going to work for so-and-so. I says, yeah, it's Tony. He says, I'm just going to give you a bit of advice now. Let Brown and Poulsen work for you a bit. That was good to say, you're working too hard. And that, he really went down in my estimation then, you know, because I thought, everybody worked like me, you see.
Oh, dear.
But it's interesting.
Yeah, just going where we. Oh, yeah. The other thing you told me, you had some after school classes, didn't you?
Yes, that was
with Mr. Andrews.
Mr. Andrews. Yeah, that was the cooperative class. Now, the main attraction at the cooperative class was that after you'd done the so many lessons, I can't remember if it went for 3 months or 6 months.
And what did he tell you about?
Once a week.
What did he do in the class?
He taught you about the cooperative movement. The total cooperative, how it started in Rochdale, how it spread all through England, and all about it, you know, how it started, how it developed, the history of it. Very interesting. There was a book called Sunnyside, and everybody got one of these books, and this is what you, this was your text, you read this up, and then he'd ask you questions on this, you did tests on it on a paper. But the big attraction for us was that at the end of the season, maybe 6 months, I can't remember, it run like once a week, you went to Barnsley to the cooperative restaurant and had a bun fight, as we call it. Some tea and sandwiches and some cakes, and that was the attraction. But it was interesting.
Yeah, and was that done sort of through the school?
Well,
on the premises?
It was on the premises in his own classroom, yes. It must have been, I would assume, that the union probably paid the council X amount for the room, and right. then they paid Mr. Andrews for his time. Because he stayed there, he didn't go back home, he stayed, and then we I think we went about 5 o'clock till six. He probably had a bit of tea, and we went home and had tea, because we were only a village, we weren't far away from the school, you see.
Sure. Did he ever teach about things like the League of Nations at all?
Yes, things he talked about, things like that, yeah, because the 1918 war had been fresh in his mind, because he was older than us, of course. And he talked about that, and that's how he came on to used to talk about Hitler and all that sort of thing, you see.
Right.
You know, he'd bring them things up about the war, what had happened in the 1918 war and that sort of thing, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so we'll move along, because you didn't... And so on the whole, you thought history was taught pretty well while you were at school?
Yes, or? I do, yeah. I mean... you know, I remember lots of things about it that stuck in my mind. I mean, like some of the dates and things like that.
Yeah.
Mind if he gives you the same questions every time he did the test, you're going to remember them. But it wasn't all the same.
But and did he sort of go through the different periods?
Oh yes, he did. Oh yes,
he went
through. Tudor period. Oh yeah, he was a good teacher. He was a good, you know, and he knew his stuff.
And do you think the history that you were taught at school helped you feel proud of being British?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yes, definitely.
But do you think it was actually his teaching, or do you think you just felt proud anyway?
I think you felt proud because of what he told you, but if he didn't tell you about these things, you wouldn't have known, so you wouldn't have been proud, you know. And of course, you got the geography thing with all the red dots all over the world, you know, all the things we owned.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think it was good.
And what would you say stuck most in your memory from your history lessons?
What do you mean?
In fact, you probably told me, because it's probably really things like the co-op, isn't it?
Yeah,
probably,
and
those tests.
All the tests, and of course, the different periods, you know. I mean, because, like I said, to me, it was like an action film, going through history with the, you know, the all the arrows with, was it when he got shot in the eye, Alfred, and then William the Conqueror coming over and doing it, you know, and all that sort of thing. Mm. So it did stick. And boys, you know, it's like boys' own type of thing, you know. It was something that you, like, look forward to.
Yes, it was good.
Blood and Sunday. You know?
And have you done any more history since you left
school
at all?
No, I've not done any schooling since.
But you have been, you know, just informal things like your family history?
Oh yeah.
That sort of thing.
I haven't gone into any. You mean to check out on it?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Joining the National Trust or something
no,
like that.
No,
you haven't. TV programmes? You're not a particular TV.
Well, I like good comedies.
But history?
No. I've watched them on. If there's something that takes my eye, the one with Hitler about his bodyguard.
Oh, right.
And I watched that. And I watched the. Interesting thing is, when I went to Germany this week, I went to Nuremberg. That's where this friend of mine lives. And one lunchtime, we went out, had lunch, and he took me to show me where they had the Nuremberg rally.
Wow.
And where they did all the Nazis, where they sentenced them all.
Oh, right.
You know, he showed me the place where they did that, the courtrooms and all that sort of thing. That was interesting.
Mm,
yeah. But we never got anywhere, you know. If as when I got married and we got the kids, if we went anywhere, we'd go to a museum or the down in London, you know, the museums down there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, things like that.
The British
but,
Museum.
But I'm sort of... Now, when I've worked, to me it was a full-time job. I was working and never got a chance to do anything else.
Yes, okay, fine, that's fine. And is there anything else you'd like to tell me about that you remember about your history teaching at all?
No, I can't think anything else. I did write these things down and that's it.
Well, we've had a good chat.
Yeah, but if there's anything else you want to know, by all means,
I think that's great.
Might just want to expand.
I can always ring you up, but that's great. So... Thank you very much, Ernie. That's great. And I shall...